So we are honoring, celebrating the divine appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have heard many different pastimes and activities of the Lord over the last few days. Lord Chaitanya, he came to reach everyone. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is not limited. It's unlimited. In the sense that it's like the sun. The sun is available for everyone. Prabhupada used to say that if you have good intelligence, and you have big brain, then you can use that in a very positive way. People have intelligence, but the term in the scripture that is used for misuse intelligence is duskritin. That means one who has good intelligence, but it's misdirected. Or it's used in the wrong way, and therefore it becomes, what we say, destructive. Therefore, the acharyas, especially His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, encourages those who have such intelligence to try to understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are for the materialists who have such, because they like to use their intelligence to try to understand more and more things. So he says, just try to direct it by trying to understand how merciful Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is. And the conclusion is, or the understanding is, that you can never understand. No matter how great your intelligence or how qualified you are, how much merciful Lord Chaitanya is. This morning during the kirtans, we broke for a drama, the favorite drama of all the devotees, the Lord showing mercy to the most fallen, to Jagai and to Madai, two very sinful, very, how we say, degraded persons. And there was no sin. It's explained by Chitragupta, who was the secretary of Yamaraj, that there was no sin that Jagai and Madai didn't commit. And they were committing sins so fast that it could not even be recorded. In fact, when Yamaraj wanted a report of their sinful activities, when the report was given, which was incomplete, they had committed more sins during the time that the report was given. So no one could, as Lord Chaitanya's mercy was unlimited, Jagai and Madai's sins were unlimited also. So degraded. So Lord Nityananda wanted to glorify Lord Chaitanya and show the world just how great Lord Chaitanya's mercy is and how available it is to everyone. In this particular story, in pastime, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj writes something interesting in his commentary in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he describes the meaning or the feature of this particular pastime as it is relevant to us. He says, this story of Lord Chaitanya saving these two most fallen souls is not a story in the scriptures. It's not. And it says it's not just a historical pastime, something out of history that we hear about. He said it's the feature of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that's going on today. It's the feature of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that's going on today. What is the qualification for getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Srila Prabhupada mentions that actually this movement is for the most fallen. Although one's giving the highest philosophical and spiritual teachings that are possibly available in all the Vedic literatures, the essence of all Vedic literatures, which is Prema Pumartha Maha, pure love of God, in the highest aspects of that realm of existence, Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the most intimate leelas with Krishna and his most intimate associates, the damsels of Vrindavan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Radharani's mood, but Krishna in the mood of Radharani, and many of his associates were manjaris and gopis. Still, although he's giving, Prabhupada said, this movement is for the most fallen. The most fallen. Third class, fourth class, even below that. And we see how people who are of that character and of that lifestyle are getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Just recently I came across one situation. The devotees were preaching in one prison in Tamil Nadu. And during the preaching, people were coming to the classes, and one former Muslim terrorist, he became interested in Krishna consciousness. Now, how far away from the ideal is that? Someone who was, a terrorist. Prabhupada was giving a very, very long lecture one time and describing what is the nature of the living beings in this material world. And sometimes when Prabhupada would get on a subject, he would just go so deep into this subject and just talk about every aspect. So he was just speaking that in this age, everyone is cats and dogs. Hogs, camels, dogs, asses. Everyone has the mentality of, lower than human being. And this is the nature. And he was describing the activities that fit these species and showing clearly how it connects with today's so-called modern society. And Prabhupada was just going on and on and on. And just cats and dogs, that's all. And finally, someone said to Prabhupada, well, what about it? Nowadays we hear about terrorists. This was back in the 70s, so it was just becoming more or less beginning. Terrorism was starting to begin, at least in the news more. And some devotees said, well, what about a terrorist? Where do they fit in? Prabhupada said, just a bigger animal, that's all. There are so many animals, just like in the jungle, Prabhupada said, there's so many beasts. So there's the lion also. He's the king of the beasts. So in that way, Prabhupada connected it to terrorism. So this one person is a picture. And he's receiving a Bhagavad Gita from our leading preacher in Tamil Nadu prison in a ceremony. And he's getting a Bhagavad Gita. And he's chanting also. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy being distributed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In such a way that the mercy becomes, what we say, readily available or easily acceptable. That's why Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Of course, we heard so many leelas of his. But he wanted to reach a certain class of people that were unreachable. The Mayavadis, sannyasis, and others who didn't respect him when he came to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness. They were finding fault with him. They were criticizing him. They were not taking his message seriously. Lord Chaitanya was very much concerned. Why? I've come with the medicine to decrease the disease, and I can see the disease is getting worse. So when he spoke like that, of course, he didn't reveal his actual intention to take sannyas at that time. But when he spoke like that, none of his devotees could understand what he was saying except one person. And that was Lord Nityananda. And when Lord Nityananda heard that, he just went into a state of complete unhappiness. He could understand he's going to take sannyas. And what did he do? What did Lord Nityananda do? He went to a lonely place, he sat down and cried. That's all he did. He just cried and cried and cried and cried, knowing how it would break the hearts of all of the devotees, especially Sachi Devi, his wife Vishnu Priya, such a young girl, 15 years old, 14 or 15 years old, newly married, such prestige within society, loved by everyone. Still, he gave all that up just to show compassion to as many as he could in that way to preach in that way and to set an example and to preach. Lord Chaitanya we heard from Srila Radhanath Maharaj how much Lord Chaitanya loved his devotees. How much he loved his devotees. In the house of Srivas Thakur, every night they would have that kirtan. And only certain devotees could come for that kirtan. Those who had, when we say, who could go deeper into the mellows of the deep devotion that Lord Chaitanya would exhibit when he would dance in kirtan, exhibiting certain ecstasies. Only certain people were allowed to come into that kirtan. And one night, when the kirtan just began, there was some crying in the house. And Srivas Thakur, he was concerned, so he went into the other room and he heard the ladies, even his wife and others, were crying. They were lamenting. And he asked, "What happened?" They said, "Your son has just died." His son was 4 years old. Srivas Thakur just stopped for a minute and he said, "Please don't cry so loud. You'll disturb Lord Chaitanya's dancing. You disturb his ecstasy, please." He was concerned that Lord Chaitanya was not disturbed in his ecstasy. And so, it became quieter, and they were mourning quietly. And kirtan went on, and went on, and went on. And then about 7.5 hours later, just about the time when just before the sun came up, when Lord Chaitanya would stop his dancing and the kirtan, he all of a sudden just stopped and he looked around and he said, "There's something unhappy here. There's some calamity here. Something is wrong." And someone said, "Srivas Thakur's son died." He turned to Srivas. He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" Srivas said, "I didn't want to disturb your dancing. I didn't want to disturb your ecstasy." He said, "Take me to your son." He went there and the boy was laying in the bed. They were surrounded by relatives. The Lord Chaitanya came up to the boy. He put his hand on his chest. And he said, "My dear boy, why have you left?" The boy got up. He started to speak. Everybody was so happy. Everyone was surprised to see this boy who had apparently left his body come back to life. And the boy spoke. He said, "I'm your eternal servant. And my time within this body is up. So according to your will, I'm going elsewhere." And when everyone heard the boy speak such transcendental knowledge, everyone just felt satisfied. And Lord Chaitanya smiled, and the boy lay down again, and he was gone. Lord Chaitanya, after that happened, he just was just so overwhelmed with love for Srivas Thakur and his whole family. He started to speak. He said, "How can I leave Srivas? How can I leave such a person? How can I ever be separated from such a person?" And he was just calling out with great feeling towards Srivas. And the devotees were thinking, what is he talking about? Every day he sees Srivas. Every night he's having kirtan in the house. What is he talking about leaving? But this was the first indication that Lord Chaitanya gave that it was time to move to the sannyas order. But that story is an exhibition of how much Lord Chaitanya loved his devotees and how much the devotees loved him. Srila Radhanath Maharaj has been bringing this point out over and over by Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. How hard it was for him to leave. How difficult. As Maharaj said earlier, it was easier for Lord Chaitanya to give up his life. And he was speaking from his heart. He wasn't just saying such things. Sometimes things are said without complete, what we say, conviction. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking, it was easier to give up his life than give up his devotees. He was expressing what was actually in his heart. But yet he did that, to show compassion to others, to the fallen condition of souls. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there are so many, many philosophical and spiritual principles that we can learn by hearing Gaur Leela, by reading Gaur Leela, and by repeating Gaur Leela. We learn so much about what are the principles of true bhakti. Lord Chaitanya was having kirtan with his devotees. This was later on in his leela. The kirtan was going on and on and on and on and on. This was in Jagannath Puri. I believe it was in the Gambira area. I was going on and on and on, and the kirtan was just going on, and Lord Chaitanya was in such ecstasy, and the devotees were going on and on and on. Finally, Lord Nityananda said to Lord Chaitanya, you know, you can go on and chant and chant and chant and dance, and this is your ecstasy, but the devotees are getting tired. Give them a break. So Lord Chaitanya stopped. And so also Lord Chaitanya, and he went towards his room in the Gambira. But he was so tired that he didn't get all the way into the room. He stopped right by the door and he sat in the door with his legs across the door, blocking the doorway. Now it was his servant, Govinda, would come and massage him just before his taking of prasad. So he would come and he wanted to get into the room to massage the legs of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya was sitting in the doorway where he couldn't get in. So he said to the Lord, please move so I can come in. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm too tired. So he didn't know what to do. He said, my dear Lord, could you just please move a little bit so I can just get into the room? Because it is an offense to step over, especially the Lord, but anyone, if one steps over another body, because the soul exists within the body, so that is an actually offense. We should also remember this in our, what we say, close dealings with each other, sometimes not to step over, because it is a transgression of proper etiquette and it's offensive to that person. So Govinda asked again, please move. The Lord said, do what your mind tells you to do. I'm too tired. So Govinda stepped over the Lord, went in, and the Lord was there, and he was very tired, and he was getting the massage, and Govinda was doing his massage. And then Lord Chaitanya fell asleep. And about 45 minutes later, he woke up. And then he looked, and he saw Govinda was still in the room, sitting there. He said to Govinda, What about your prasadam? Why didn't you take your prasadam? It's past your prasadam time. Why are you still here? Govinda said, you're in the doorway. I can't get out. Lord said, how did you get in? Govinda didn't say anything. He was thinking, for your service, I can do this. For my own personal needs, I can't do this. So this principle is somewhat a principle that we should try to understand. That for the Krishna service, we can do what is required. And we should do what is required. Even at the risk, sometimes, of it's not always easy, or what we say, understandable, that when we do our service, sometimes it's difficult. It's like preaching. Preaching means taking a risk. And sometimes in association with materialistic persons, you also become somewhat contaminated, if you allow it to happen. But it can happen. Just like Srila Prabhupada said. No, he was asked a question. Prabhupada was asked a question by Hridayananda Maharaj. And he asked him, what should a sannyasi be very careful with when going out to preach? What is the danger of sannyas? Something to that effect. In other words, how is a sannyasi considered fallen? And Prabhupada said, when you're out there preaching, and you go to someone's house, and they have a beautiful house, and they have a very lovely wife, and you're thinking, gee, if I didn't take sannyas, I could have had all this. He said, then you're not fit for sannyas. In other words, you don't look back. You don't look back. So, in doing our service, sometimes it's dangerous. But for the sake of pushing on Krishna consciousness, we take that risk. Just like distributing books or any service. Sometimes we have to go with less sleep, or sometimes miss prasadam, or sometimes deal with difficult situations. But still, for the sake of the Lord, we will do that. We will be not only do it, but do it enthusiastically. But when it comes to our personal needs, that we just depend on Krishna. We just depend on Krishna. And Krishna's mercy always comes. We don't have to make separate endeavors. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, hey, Srivas, you know, Srivas, you're a householder. You got a big family. And you don't work. You don't have any employment. How do you make your money? How do you eat? How do you maintain your family? Srivas went. That's what he did. Just three times. Only three times. Three has a special meaning. Just three times. So, Lord Chaitanya said, what this? What does that mean? And Srivas said, well, one day if the Lord doesn't feed me, 2 days if the Lord doesn't take care of me and my family, and 3 days if the Lord neglects us, then I drown myself in the Ganga. Lord Chaitanya roared. Srivas! He said, you have understood. Even if the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, has to go around begging with a begging bowl, there will always be food in your house. He understood that simply by surrendering to the Lord takes care of everything. Now, don't Now, unless you're on the level of Srivas, you should be very, careful in understanding this application in your own life. If you have that faith, it works. If you don't have that faith, it won't work. The faith itself makes it work. If we have that faith, then the Lord will... And that faith has to be coupled, of course, with our own surrender. And the Lord Chaitanya taught, and one who depends on the Lord in all situations is actually getting the mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he didn't like the devotees to see him like that or to glorify him. One day, Advaita Acharya became so enthusiastic, and he was like the leader of the Vaishnavas. And so he gathered all the devotees together and he said, "We're going to have Gaur Kirtan. We're going to chant Gauranga." So they were chanting, "Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga." Gauranga, 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 Jaya Sachinandan, Jaya Sachinandan. Jaya Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana, Gauranga, 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 Advaita had to keep encouraging him because they kept slipping in their kirtan because they knew Lord Chaitanya didn't like his name being chanted. So Lord Chaitanya was there and he, from a distance, he heard this kirtan. He said, "Oh, kirtan." So he started heading towards the kirtan and he got closer and he's thinking, "What is this? This is not, they're not chanting Krishna's name. What are they chanting? What are they chanting?" So he just looked. And then when Advaita saw that Lord Chaitanya was there, the devotees actually became a little less enthusiastic. And Advaita was going, "Come on, chant more, chant more, chant more." And he was really encouraging. The devotees didn't know what to do because Lord Chaitanya was looking and Advaita was saying, "Come on, chant, chant, Gauranga, Gauranga." So finally, Lord Chaitanya just turned around and he walked away. He went back to his room. He just lay down and went to sleep. A little later, Srivas Thakur came. And Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, "Srivas, why don't the devotees chant Krishna's name? Why are they chanting? What are they chanting? Why don't they chant Krishna's name? We're supposed to chant Krishna's name. We're devotees of Krishna. We should chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare." So Srivas went like this, with his hand, holding it up like this. So Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing?" Srivas said, "I'm blocking the sun with my hand." He said, "You can't do that. Similarly, you can't hide yourself from us. You can't hide yourself from us." And so Lord Chaitanya, although he was very adamant about being glorified, still the devotees, out of their natural love, would many times express their deep felt sentiment to wanting to glorify the Lord in so many ways. Murari Gupta. He was a physician. Before he was a physician, actually, he was a teacher. He used to teach school. He had his own teaching, but he wasn't teaching devotional service. He was teaching all kinds of philosophical teachings. In fact, he was teaching a little bit about karma, gyan, other things. He would teach different aspects of spiritual life. So Lord Chaitanya was actually a little boy. He was only about 5 years old at this time. He was still running around, causing mischief. And one day Murari was walking with his students, and he was speaking to his students. And Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai, was walking behind him. And Murari had a funny walk. And so Lord Nimai was imitating his walk. And then every time Murari would speak, Nimai would mock him by saying the same thing. He would say something and Nimai would say the same thing in a funny way. And this would go on. Finally, Murari turned around and said, "What are you doing, Nimai? You're just causing trouble. You're always mischievous. Go home and do something." Nimai said, "Later on, I'm going to teach you a lesson." And he left. He ran away. So later on that night, Murari went home. His wife prepared lunch, or actually it was supper, and he was sitting down to eat. And while he was sitting, he was absorbed in his taking prasadam. Nimai walked into the door quietly. And he went walking up to Murari's plate while Murari was eating. And he did something that not normally you do when you come into someone's house, especially while they're eating. He passed urine right on his plate, right in the middle of the rice. And Murari, "What are you doing?" "Nimai, go home." Nimai said, "Bhakti is pure, but when you mix it with karma and gyan," and then he ran away. So rice is very nice, but if you mix it with something like what Lord Chaitanya mixed it with, of course Lord Chaitanya's urine is very nice. It's transcendental. But the point is, that's another point. The point is that bhakti, pure bhakti, is really bhakti. Ayavilasita sunya jnana karma navritam anukulena krishna silanam bhakta uttamam. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, what is pure bhakti? That one renders devotional service without desire for any gain, either through futile activities or through philosophical speculations, but it has to be for Krishna with a desire to please Krishna. This is bhakti. Many times we do our devotional service for Krishna, but the question is, or the question may come, is our intention to please Krishna by that activity? That makes it bhakti, when we have the intention to please the Lord. So bhakti, that is the definition of pure devotional service. There are so many kinds of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam explains there are 81 wrong ways to do devotional service. There's one right way. These are 81, and it's not like it's wrong, it's just not pure. It's mixed with other aspects. There are 9 processes of devotional service, 3 modes of material nature, 3 times 9, 9 times 9 is 81. So there are 81, what we say, ways to engage in devotional service that is not what we say. Just like if you are a pujari and you're doing the arti, and you're thinking, "I do this arti so nice. Just see how nice I'm twirling this incense. And so just, I have such artistic..." And so, you know, you're thinking, what is that? It's some show. That's something else. Or you're thinking, I'm doing this RT. 25 minutes finished. I have to finish in 25 minutes, okay? So I should just make sure I just finish on time. And that's the idea. Finish on time. That's all. Not thinking of the object of the offering or the mood of the offering. So there's someone who's looking at it will think, oh, that's such a nice RT. But what is the consciousness? What is the consciousness like that? So in doing our devotional service, well, those two things, it's for Krishna, or for Krishna's representative, the pure devotee, who offers it to Krishna, and with an intention to please the Lord. It takes practice. Bhakti is practice. Srila Prabhupada says, you practice. You want to be good at something? Practice. Practice, practice, practice. And the thing about devotional service is your success is your determination, not your qualifications. Your success is your determination. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam from the fourth canto. He describes what is the difference between what makes devotional service easy and what makes the devotional service difficult. And what do you think he says? What's the difference? One word. Determination. That's all. One is determined, it's easy. If one is not determined, it's very difficult. And then again, what destroys determination? Or what interferes with our determination? Our desire for sense gratification. So as we give up sense gratification, we can become more and more determined. But still, one should become determined. And one should associate with those who are also determined. Because by associating with those who are determined, one becomes determined also. So we should have determination for the process of devotional service. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're celebrating his appearance day today. So today we concentrate our consciousness for the whole day. As Radhanath Maharaj said, there's nothing else to do today. Really, don't worry about, forget about emails, forget about the arguments you had with everybody that are still going. forget about everything and just absorb your day, your consciousness today, especially today, every day, but today especially, and just hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Chat rounds, hear the lectures, offer prayers to the Lord, speak about the Lord, just absorb oneself in this mood of devotion. And then we get a taste. That taste is sweet because Lord Chaitanya has made it so sweet. He's made it so sweet. That the hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and especially Gaur Lila, it's so sweet. As Radhanath Maharaj said, Lord Gaur Lila is Krishna Lila. Just like in New Vrindavan, there's Prabhupada's palace. I don't think too many of you have been to New Vrindavan and Prabhupada's palace. I know a few of you have, but not so many that travel. But on the ceiling of Prabhupada's palace, there are two huge paintings. They were painted on canvas, and they're put up. One is just these two huge paintings. One is Krishna doing Rasa dance with all his gopis. And the other one is Lord Chaitanya in Kirtan with his associates. And it was explained to us that there's no difference between these two paintings. That Lord Chaitanya, with his associates performing kirtan, is actually Krishna performing the rasa dance, like that mood. So Lord Chaitanya has given us the highest, Harinam Sankirtan, to chant, to dance, in association with wonderful devotees, wonderful people, to take Krishna prasadam, to purify our consciousness. And as Prabhupada says, Taktua dehom purna janmani naiti mameti sorjana, go back home, back to Godhead. We should want to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, not very many people want to go back to Godhead, just a few. We still think that there's some happiness in this material world. Although I haven't experienced it yet, I still have hope that I will. There's still some happiness that everyone else has failed, but I will succeed, right? That's basically what you're saying when you're still trying to find happiness in this material world. Krishna says it, and he says it over and over again. It's a place of suffering, and everything is temporary. Even the little happiness you may find, which is simply a relief from suffering, that happiness is also temporary. So therefore, because it's temporary, it is also another form of suffering. Just like if you like something, and you like it a lot, and you really like it, and you just fall in love with it, but then you think, I'm going to lose it. The more you become, what we say, absorbed in something that is pleasurable, the greater the pain that happens when you lose it. So that is the nature of this world. So we're looking for happiness. We're looking for Ananda, Sri Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.